But the song goes like this. Like the rushing of a mighty wind. Like the rushing of a mighty wind. Come and fill our hearts again. Like the rushing of a mighty wind. Let it overflow. 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 Lord, that's our cry today as Christina and the team have led us so powerfully into your presence. It's not what the preacher says, it's your presence that makes all the difference, Lord. And we thank you today that you are attracted to saints who worship you in spirit and in truth. Your presence is so real in this room right now. We can't imagine, Lord, what it was like when we first encountered your presence. For we know your touch when you touched us by your hand. On many occasions when your spirit came and your presence was so real in our midst, we can't imagine that the King of Glory, that Heaven's Father, would leave that splendor to come and presence himself in our midst. When he's surrounded by angels, not only in front of him, but behind him and above him and below him. Heaven is threefold, and the eyes gaze towards the Father in the middle of that, and they cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," in perfect harmonies, harmonies we have never heard before. And the Bible says that the worship of heaven creates that power of glory and splendor to the Father Almighty. And when he hears his saints worshiping, when he hears his saints crying out to him in perfect unity, in perfect purity, in perfect harmony, he says, "Michael, Gabriel, who's that down there?" And they will say, "Those are your sons and daughters worshiping you." And the Father leaves his throne in glory, surrounded by angels that sing in perfect harmony. And he comes and he presents himself in the midst of his people that are worshiping and praising him, because we are his sons and daughters. Lord, we can't imagine you would leave heaven's harmonies for our harmony. But you come and you presence yourself in the midst of the praises of your people. What splendor, what glory to know God's presence. And we thank you that you are here to speak to us through your word. But more than anything, we will be filled to overflowing with the power of the Holy Ghost upon us. In the name of Jesus, welcome, Father, into this place. You here already. We just say, we declare that you are here. We declare that you have, Lord, a place to dwell in the midst of the praises of your people. So come, Holy Spirit, and manifest in our lives today like never before. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Tommy Tenney asked us the question last night, and that is, how many of you remember when you really were aware of the presence of God in your life? Let me see your hands. How many of you remember what the preacher was preaching that night? Let me see your hands. Wow, it went from almost a full house to one third. How many of you remember the song that was sang that night when the power of God touched you? Well, it went down again to about a third. Isn't it amazing? It's not what the preacher says. It's not what the song that was sang. But it's the presence and the power of Jesus that changes your life. I'll never forget one night in 1984. I was in Moose Lake Pentecostal camp, and we were in a youth camp, and I was the overseer of that youth camp, and the presence of God came into that room like I'd never experienced before. And there was a wonderful little lady by the name of Charlene Brown who was on the piano that night. And we, as Cam Milliken had just finished his message, and Maury Blair, while speakers that year, the presence of God began to manifest itself at the altar, and with power and anointing, as she played the piano, every time she played the piano and changed the song, the power of God hit people differently. And I remember Barry Smith from St. Albert's, here in just outside of Edmonton, was standing in front of the drums like this. And he lifted his hands and was worshiping God as part of the worship team. And listen to this.
Power and anointing. As she played the piano, every time she played the piano and changed the song, the power of God hit people differently.
I'll never forget, there was a 12-year-old girl standing on the right-hand
side. And I remember Barry Smith from St. Albert's,
as the Bible says,
you know, in just outside of Edmonton, was standing in front of the drums like this. And he lifted his hands and was worshiping God as part of the worship team. And listen to this, I watched his body go like this.
Then I came up over here, with Cam Milliken and
float right down
with our other speaker, Maury Blair.
And God filled him with the Holy Ghost right on that very altar place.
And she began,
I'll never forget, there was a 12-year-old girl standing on the right-hand side. As Charlene began to pray under the anointing of the Lord. As the Bible says, as David played his harp, Saul's soul was what? Was touched by the presence of God. And this little 12-year-old girl began to manifest demonic power.
And I went and I stood up.
And I came over to her with Cam Lincoln and with our other speaker, Maury Blair. And we began to lay hands upon her. Down she went, and she began to lean around and shake around and foam at the mouth. I went down on my knees and I laid my hands upon her, and her left hand got under my thigh and threw me across the altar to about 12 feet away from her. One power manifested itself. And I went and I stood up and I said, in the name of Jesus, you will not manifest again. We cast out 17 demons out of that young girl. And she was from Springfield, Alberta.
And received them.
And we discovered her mother was into wicked and witchcraft. And when she was 4 years old, she began to control a Ouija board with her friends and manifest demonically among her friends. That day, God set that girl free from 70 demons. Because of the power and presence of God.
And he said, it is me that I must go.
You know, Charlene Brown began to pray and
speak. The Holy Spirit that will be your power and will baptize you in power and with fire. Can you say amen? So today I want to talk about why you need the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In June, we have a Sunday called Pentecost Sunday. How many of you are familiar with that? If you come from a liturgical church, Anglican background, or a Roman Catholic background, you know that we have Pentecost Sunday. And it's interesting that as Pentecostals, we have just come alive in the last 20 years or so to not forget this Sunday called Pentecost Sunday and celebrate this distinctive of Pentecost Sunday. And I'm about to preach to you about something that is greater than joy, greater than even winning a $40 million lottery ticket. I'm offering you something that is greater, and I mean it from the core of my being this morning. And it is the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. I have prayed for this morning's service. The team has prepared the songs for the Spirit of God to prepare your heart. And I want to preach to you today about who needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Who needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because it is a blessing that is very real, church. How many of you can say amen? It is a blessing that God wants you to encounter after you are born again. See, when you get born again, the Spirit of Christ comes into your very body. And it does its work of regeneration. But there is a deeper work that is performed in the life of every follower of Jesus Christ who is hungry. And that is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the word baptismo in the Greek. It means to be immersed fully under the control and the power of the Holy Ghost, just as you and you in your water baptism are pushed under the water. You come up power-filled by the King of Glory. And it is an absolute part that is necessary for the New Testament church. So I want you to go in your Bibles with me now. We're going to comb through the scriptures. Let's start at Isaiah. As we take off into the truth of God's word today, I want us to come to that place where we reach higher heights, deeper depths in the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? And so here's what Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 and 12 says. I'm going to read it to you now from the King James Version. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest. And this is the, I want you to underline that word in your Bible, the refreshing, yet they who not hear. And so there's a refreshing that is coming, Isaiah says, to the church. Now, listen, this is 3,000 years before Pentecost in the upper room occurred, that Isaiah prophesies about the actual day of Pentecost when he says these words in Isaiah 28, verse 11 and 12. He's saying that there's a blessing that is coming that will affect people, that there will be even stammering lips that will be seen and heard when this blessing comes, that tongues will be spoken, that unknown language by the people who are declaring these truths about God, that this blessing will come, and listen to what he says will happen when this blessing comes. You will enter a rest for weariness, and there will be times of refreshing to those who receive it. Now, how many of you would want true rest? How many of you would want times of refreshing? I want rest. I want refreshing. And that's what he promises here. So the question is this then. Who needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Who needs the infilling of the Holy Ghost? We as a Pentecostal people believe these things, and we preach it because it is our doctrine as the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. And the first people that needs it is spiritual leaders. Spiritual leaders need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit just like they were in the Bible. What's interesting is this. As I tell you a true story of a church in West Edmonton by the name of Beulah Alliance Church. How many of you have heard of Beulah Alliance Church? Big church, 3,500 people or so. And Pastor Taylor, over the last 6 years, said this. He encountered the Holy Spirit in his life, but he doesn't pray out in tongues publicly because the Alliance Church has the position, as A.B. Simpson, their founder, said, seek not, but despise not. And that was their official position of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Don't seek it, but don't despise those who do pray in the Holy Spirit. And here's what Pastor Taylor said. I want to make the next 9 hires on the staff of Beulah Alliance Church, Pentecostal, Spirit-filled, tongue-talking pastors. And he hired 9 of them. One of them includes Donna Boone, who is known as a great children's evangelist among the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. And what I see is that God is up to something, that people are getting hungry in the last days for the move of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen to that? And so something is going to happen in Beulah Alliance Church that I am confident that God is wanting to do. And we see here that spiritual leaders need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit just like they were in the Bible. It's proven in Scripture. For example, when Jesus and his 11 disciples in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, said this, and behold, I will send the promise of the Father upon you. But tarry he in the city of Jerusalem until he are endued from on high. He's speaking in the context to the 11 disciples. He's talking to these men who walked with him and talked with him and slept with him and ate with him for 3.5 years every day of their life. He was talking to the men who knew what he had taught and preached and lived, who took notes of his teachings. He's talking to the disciples who were there, who heard the Sermon on the Mount firsthand. And Jesus is saying to these spiritual leaders that he's preparing for his kingdom that they are not complete without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the first people that need the infilling of the Holy Ghost. So pray for Pastor Sion and Pastor Debbie that they would be filled to overflowing with the Holy Ghost week after week. Can you say amen? Number two, people who are highly blessed and highly favored needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Write that down. In Luke chapter 1, verse 28, the Bible says this, that the angel came unto her and said unto her, Hail Mary, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And then in verse 42, if you drop down in your Bible, it says in Luke chapter 1, you are blessed among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. I said blessed and highly favored people of God need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, how do we know that? Well, if you study further in the text, people who have high favor, I'm talking about people that has been raised up by God to be favored of Him in many ways. Mary here was favored as the virgin of Israel to carry the Messiah. And if you go now to your Bibles in Acts chapter 1, track with me Mary's experience with the Holy Spirit. In verse 13 of Acts chapter 1, we are given the names of the people who went into the upper room. And it says in verse 13, and when they had entered, where they entered into the upper room, where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, these all continued with one accord. Now, that's not a Honda, okay? Some of you didn't get that. But they continued in one accord in prayer and supplication. And then it adds this interesting post note. With the women and who? Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was a highly favored woman. You can't argue the historical notation here that there's no one more highly favored on earth at the time than Mary. And yet she needs the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Isn't it amazing? And when she went into the upper room, the Bible says that the miracle began. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon them. And they were, notice, all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with what? Other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Everybody tell me, who spoke with other tongues? All of them. Who received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues? All of them. Including who? Mary, the mother of Jesus. And how did they know they were filled with the Holy Ghost? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So who needed it? The apostles needed it. The disciples needed it. Mary, the mother of Jesus, needed it. And even though she was blessed and highly favored of God, and everything was good, that people still needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? You say, Simon Clarence, I don't think I need that. I'm kind of scared of that stuff. You Pentecostals get kind of weird on us sometimes. But I'm telling you that if the disciples needed it, and since you have not been hanging with Jesus for 3.5 years like they did, I think that if Mary needed it, if the apostles needed it, don't you think you and I, who are lovers of Jesus, need it today? Even more. You need this blessing. Amen? You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I tell you who else needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Number three, devout Christians needed this blessing. Write that down. In Acts chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. See, they had come in and they were devout and they were committed and they were from all over the world, the Bible says. They were so devout that they traveled from all over the world. They had traveled to worship God in Jerusalem, in Mount Zion. And they had been at the feast of the Passover, and now it's 50 days later that we are celebrating the feast of Pentecost. And the Bible records for us that these devout men and women were from 18 different countries. Isn't it interesting that the Lord gives us specifics in the Bible? 18 different nations. And when the baptism of the Holy Spirit was poured out in the upper room, they heard the disciples speaking in their languages. And they were preaching the gospel to them, telling them about the wonderful works of God. And when they received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the Bible said that these men said to the disciples, "What is this? That they are seeing, that they are speaking a language that they have never learned." I'm telling you that when you receive the baptism in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you will speak in a heavenly language that you've never learned, as well as, we see here in the scriptures, an earthly language that you have never heard. Can somebody say amen to that? There's the language of men and there's the language of heaven. And sometimes God will use earthly languages to speak to a specific person or a nation in an earthly language, that someone who has never learned this language will supernaturally declare the praises of God and the proof of God to that individual. And we have heard all kinds of testimonies of people who have encountered a witness of the King of Glory to them when someone has spoken in their language perfectly, and they've never learned Chinese. They've never learned Hindi. They've never learned Swahili. Or they've never learned Afrikaans or Xhosa or Zulu. But they would speak to them the kingdom truth. And the Bible says that these devout men and women encountered the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 13, "Though I speak with tongues of men and tongues of angels." See that? We can pray in the Spirit, Paul says. We can speak in a heavenly language. Devout men were shocked and amazed that when they were speaking in their mother tongues, these simple fishermen, they said, "What is this?" And Peter said, "This is that. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. As you see these people speaking in tongues they have never learned." I mean, it's the prophecy of Joel chapter 2 coming to the fore in verse 28 and 29 when it said this: "In the last days, God is going to pour out His Spirit upon" what flesh? Come on, let me hear you say it. All flesh, all flesh. He's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. This means that the sons and the daughters of all nations can prophesy. That's the Jewish people, but also the non-Jews. And here's the blessing for you and I, and upon the handmaidens and upon the servants. See, we were not in the original Jewish race, but the prophecy said that He would pour out His Spirit upon the Gentiles. They would partake of the same baptism of the Holy Spirit as Isaiah prophesied 3,000 years ago upon the people of God, the Jewish people. And God who poured His Spirit upon them on the day of Pentecost, as we know the scriptures very clearly in Acts chapter 2, verses 37. So let's pick up the story there, Acts 2, 37. "Now when they heard this, they were," notice that word, "pricked in their hearts." It's another word for convicted in their hearts. They were convicted concerning the Christ. "And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter says to them, "Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins," or the forgiveness of your sins, in other words. And then he says something as he adds this powerful thing after repentance: "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Who is it for? For every one of you. And look at verse 39. You say, "Wow, that was only for the first century church, Simon." No, 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 no. Look at verse 39. Read it with me, everyone out loud. Together. "For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off." Who's the all that are afar off today? You and me. It's you and me on this wonderful day in August 2014. "And as many as the Lord God shall call." Wow, what a promise. What just happened in the upper room? He said, "This promise is for the people who are here now, and even for those who are not here now in this room. But those who are far off, for the children's children's children, even those who are far off, like places in Edmonton, Alberta, and Devon, Alberta, and Alberta Beach, Alberta, and Sylvan Lake, and Rocky Mountain House, and Fort Saskatchewan, and Taktiaktak, and Timbuktu in Mali. To all who are far off, he says, this promise is for you. Wow. Think about it. I mean, if I told you this morning that you have won $40 million, and here's your ticket. Now, I pray none of you are gamblers, but but what if I gave you a $40 million lottery ticket and I said to you, go and cash it. Go to the lottery 649 place and cash this $40 million ticket. And you turn to me and you say something like this. Do I have to? Do I have to have all of it? I mean, couldn't I just take $500,000 and give away $39.5 million? Do I have to have it all? No, you wouldn't say something like that to me, would you? You would not refuse the whole shebang, as we say today. You won't say, do I have to? You would say, I get to. Where's the place? You know, and you get run into that place where you will receive the full $40 million. And isn't it interesting that just like at Christmas time when the Son of God came to be born of the Virgin Mary and God gave his gift to us of salvation at Christmas time, what if you left that gift under your Christmas tree unopened for the rest of your life? How would Jesus feel if you did not receive him as the true gift at Christmas time? And he says, it's good that I go away so I may send you another gift, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and he will fill you with power and with fire. How many Christians today don't open up the gift of the Holy Ghost and it's still sitting in the upper room in Pentecost in their lives? And God is saying to you and I, open up the gift. Let your temple be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Can somebody say amen? I'm going to set my feet to dancing in a moment here. But isn't it interesting that here we see devout people, people who have walked with Jesus, the disciples, they needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I tell you who else needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us, number four, that people who have been healed and delivered and baptized in water needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Can somebody say amen? Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 4 in the context. It is Philip who goes up to that great revival in Samaria and he's preaching Christ. And the Bible says in verse 7 of Acts 8, unclean spirits cried with a loud voice. Isn't it amazing how major churches and denominations never deal with verses like this? These things are too weird for them to unpack from their pulpits. It's strange to them, and they stay away from verses like unclean spirits crying out with loud voices. But this is Bible stuff. This is supernatural encounters. We as the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada churches should never shrink back from the message of deliverance from unclean spirits. Can somebody say amen? Let's dig into these things in the last days. I mean, let's try explaining all kinds of things to people. But here it says, so people who are healed and delivered need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because Acts 8, 7 says, for unclean spirits, crying in a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, and were healed. Now get this. They were healed. They were delivered from the power of Satan. And then it goes on to say that there was much joy in the city and they were baptized in water. Is that right? But I want you to drop down to verse 15. And then it says, then they sent Peter and John to pray for them at the revival in Samaria that they might receive what? After they were healed and set free and delivered. They may receive what? The Holy Ghost. They may receive the Holy Spirit. Well, you say, if you get saved, and you get healed, and you get baptized in water, then why do you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit then? Well, the Bible says that they laid hands upon them, and they received the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with other tongues. What happened at that moment was that this guy is watching them. He was a former witch doctor, a sorcerer, by the name of Simon the Sorcerer. And he comes to Peter and John, James and John, and he says, hey, I want to buy the gift that you have. I want to buy the ability to lay my hands on people. And when I lay my hands upon people, they get what you just laid your hands upon them that they got. And they say to him, no, you can't buy this gift. It is free. It is purchased by the blood of Jesus. So we see that people who have been healed and delivered and baptized in water needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, second, lastly, people who are scholars, people who are knowledgeable of the Scriptures, these are the people that are sincere and know the Scriptures. They are zealots. Example, in Acts chapter 22, verse 3, it says of Paul, that I am indeed a Jew born in the Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in the city of the feet of Gamaliel. I mean, Gamaliel was one of the top professors of knowledge of the Bible. He was a Jewish teacher and leader, and Gamaliel was Paul's, or Saul, as he was known then, teacher. And Saul sat at his feet. And Paul says, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I knew the word upside down. I could quote by verse and letter. It was required of every Jewish boy to memorize the Torah. They had to memorize Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Psalms, and Proverbs. These men knew the Scriptures in and out. They could quote it word for word. I mean, it is said in that day, if you took a spike and a hammer, and you drove that spike through the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, every Jewish boy could tell you what word was missing on the front of the page and the back of the page of the Torah, because they had it memorized verse by verse. And this is Paul here. This is Saul, a scholar, knowledgeable of the Scriptures. And the Bible says in Acts 9:17 of Saul, Brother Saul, the Lord who has appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight and be what? Filled with what? With the Holy Spirit. Ha! Here's a scholar. Here's a guy who can quote you Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He can quote you Psalms and Proverbs. He knows all of the ancient writings and teachings. He's a scholar of the Word. And yet Saul, or Paul as he's known later, needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I love it when, as a pastor, I travel throughout Canada and the world and I teach and I preach, that I encounter churches who are open to attracting the presence of God in their lives. I love it when I come into Pentecostal churches that I call Big P, not small P, but Big P. They're not Presbyterian Pentecostals. They're not Baptistcostals. They are Pentecostal Pentecostals. And they welcome the Holy Spirit from the very first prayer and song. And God loves to come down from heaven when He hears His children worshiping Him. And Zephaniah 3:17 comes into play where it says, the Lord thy God in the midst of these mighty, He will save and He will rejoice over thee with joy. When we begin to worship God, this is what the Bible says in Zephaniah 3:17 says. He comes and He sings His song over you. He rejoices over you. That word in the Hebrew literally means spin like a top. He dances in your presence like a God who rejoices with you. Now I'm really dizzy. And this is what our God does. He says, I want to come and presence myself with you every day and fill you with the Holy Ghost and fire. 1 Corinthians 14:2 reminds us, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not to men, but unto God," firstly. Then drop down to verse 4. "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth" who? "Himself." Look at this. You only firstly speak to God in your praying tongues, but you secondly build yourself up. You edify yourself up. And when he prophesies, he builds the church up, because tongues is to speak to God, and you build your soul, your spirit, your body up. But when you prophesy in English that the church can understand it, it builds the entire church up. And so in 1 Corinthians 14:18, look at what it says there. Paul says, "I speak in tongues more than you all." Paul is saying this literally. He's saying, if all of you 25 or 40 here this morning spoke in tongues for half an hour, Paul says, "I speak in tongues more than you all put together." That's how important Paul believes praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, edifying himself, speaking to God first, and then to build himself up in the most holy faith was important to him. And if a brother Paul believed in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, don't you think brother Simon should believe, and brother Joseph should believe, brother Graham should believe, sister Melba should believe, that we all would speak with tongues, speak to God, and build yourself up in the most holy faith? And so when the day of Pentecost came, they all spoke with other tongues and were filled with power and fire. And verse 39 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, the way it begins for every follower of Jesus is that we who desire the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Look at what it says in verse 39. "Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, but do not forbid to speak with tongues." How have we got this mixed up as Pentecostals today? I mean, this is a mighty blessing that is waiting for anyone who will hunger and thirst for it. The Bible said that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Then lastly, in Acts chapter 19, the ones who need the baptism of the Holy Spirit are those who are long-lasting religious people. They need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is for Christians like you and I who have been walking with God for a long time. We need to receive fresh fillings, not just one time, but fresh fillings. Don't just expect to have that one-time baptism initially of the Holy Ghost and fire to be lasting for you for the rest of your life. No, you need to pray in tongues every day. Can you say amen? You need to pray in tongues every day. I mean, this answer is profound. Who needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit? This teaching is for you and I. Look at verse 6. The Bible says there in Acts chapter 19, verse 6, Paul had laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Church, as I conclude, so many people have stopped short. So many people have never heard about what I'm preaching today. And some of you are shocked and astonished that the Scripture is so clear as to who needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this morning I've come to tell you that I can't keep this gift to myself. I feel like those lepers that they found in 2 Kings 7 when they found bread. They just kept eating and eating, and they got dressed, and one of them said, "We do not well. We're eating this and they are starving over there. We need to take it to the city and share it with them." And that's what I've come to do today. To tell you that in my journey of 38 years of loving Jesus, I have been enjoyed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And through the years as a Pentecostal pastor, that we've been stuffing ourselves with the Holy Spirit through all these years. And I need to tell you, there's plenty of bread from heaven that is around for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost and to share with others day in and day out, that they can too receive the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Can somebody say amen? Can somebody praise the Lord? Can somebody give glory to God? That there's a rushing of a mighty wind that is available for you and I. So it is of little importance what I preach and what I teach, but it is of utmost importance if you receive the word today and apply it to your life. Why was it prophesied that so many times in the Old Testament there would come this baptism of the Holy Spirit? If it was of little importance, why was it spoken by Jesus Christ Himself that these signs will follow you and you will speak with other tongues in Acts 1:8? If it was of little importance, why was it released on Pentecost, the birth of the church, and included were the words that they all spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance? If it was of little importance, church, why was it practiced by the early church? If it was of little importance, why does it continue to be outpoured over and over again over all the world? Do you know what? The Pentecostal movement is the fastest growing church in the world. You know how many we're at now? George Bonner did his research and he says a conservative estimate is that there are 600 million Pentecostal tongue-talking Christians walking on the earth today. 600 million. And it started in North America where the pouring of the Spirit came in the late 1800s when a professor in Topeka, Kansas, by the name of Charles Parham, had about 9 students who, when they were reading Acts, said to their professor, Charles Parham, "Why can't we seek after this which has been written in Acts?" And one of those students was a man by the name of Papa Seymour, a wonderful black brother who was a student in Topeka, Kansas. And he left Bible school that year and he went to Azusa Street in California, started a mission. And in the upper room of Azusa Street, Papa Seymour, he was so aware of the presence of God that he took apple boxes and he placed it over his head for fear that the holiness and the presence of God would strike him dead. And from that moment in 1906, when the Holy Spirit fell in Azusa Street, we had hungry holiness people come from Winnipeg and from Toronto, and they went down to Azusa Street by the last name of McAllister, who was a businessman in Winnipeg. And Mama, who came from the Hebden Mission, and she went down to Azusa Street and she encountered the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And out of that 2 people, a fire was lit in Canada. And the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada and the Assemblies of God was birthed in 1906 out of the pouring out of the Holy Ghost on North America. And all over the world today, because of Azusa Street revival, we have over 600 million people that started with 9 students in Topeka, Kansas, who were hungry for the Holy Ghost. So I'm hungry today for a fresh filling, aren't you? Andre Crouch is going to sing for us the song I started with today. And I want you to come hungry, every one of us, to the altar today. I want us to lift our hearts and our hands before the King of Glory. And I want us to call on the name that is above every other name. I want you to come and stand and say, "Lord, fill me afresh." It's not Simon who's going to baptize you, but it's Jesus who's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost and fire. It is He, the baptizer, who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Can you say amen to that? So let's all stand. Let's just humbly come and stand 2-3 deep here. Stand and you can sing with Andre Crouch as he sings the song, and there will be the words for you to hear and also to see. And come and just get hungry. Maybe you want to posture yourself and you want to say, "Lord, I just want to sit in your presence like the rushing of a mighty wind." The rushing of a mighty wind. Like the rushing of a mighty wind. Come and fill our hearts again. Can you put it louder, please? Just like the rushing of a mighty wind. Oh.
like the rush of a mighty wind, like the rush of a mighty wind. Oh, come and fill our hearts again.
Like a river
that has flowed
overflowed.
Like a river that has overflowed. Yes, Lord,
come and
fill our hearts once more. Like a river that has
overflowed.
Let it overflow, 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 let it overflow. Listen to this now.
For miles around.
Yes, we hear today, Lord.
As you send your spirit down.
Begin to seek him now for yourself, fresh filling.
Just to revive your church.
Yes, revive us.
To revive your church again. Come in like the rushing of a mighty wind. Oh,
like the rushing of a mighty. While he may be found. Oh, call out upon the name of the Lord to baptize you afresh today. Call upon the name of the Lord to fill you for the first time with the Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, come and fill us, Lord. Let the rushing of a mighty wind, Lord, blow upon us this morning. Oh, like the river that is overflowing. Sing it now.
Like a river
that has
overflowed.
Yes, Lord, come and fill our hearts once more. Like a river that has
overflowed. Lord, I beg you to let it overflow.
Let it overflow. Let it overflow. Let it overflow. Oh God. Yes,
Lord.
Let it overflow. 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 Baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let's be filled. Let's speak with other tongues. Let's praise Him. Let those who are around you be encouraged to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Even now, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Be baptized in the Holy Ghost with power from on high, that you would be speaking with other tongues. Oh, Jesus, come and fill us afresh.
Riba baba basha tando do 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 do. Riba baba shaka raba baba baba shanda da na. Riba baba basha da na 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 na. Raba baba shoko raba baba shanda. Lift your voice, church. Lift your voice, church. Come on, praise him now. Praise him now. Oh, yes, Lord. Kika raba mashanda na 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 na. Liba raba babo shondo do 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 hosiria. Raba babo shondo do 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 holorge inderia basandarai. Beshambara babo hoshondoro. Mishambara mama mashanda na 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 na. Iria shakara da na la 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 mashanda na. Meria shanda da na 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 masan. Earnestly cry out to him. Earnestly cry out to him. Say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost and fire. Baptize me afresh. Fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit today. I need your Holy Ghost power and fire to be a witness for you, to be one who overcomes, to build himself up in the most holy faith, to, Lord, edify your name and to speak to you with tongues that you have given us, O God. Sibiriya bashandaranama sandarayam. Eriya shakarabato hondorodo. Shibarababa mashandaranai. Ribiya shatara na 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 la 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 va sandara dai. Bikiya shatata robo shombaro bobo. Makarama mama shandara na na na. Fill us overflowing, Lord. Fill us over. We need you, Holy Ghost. Your presence is so real here. Now baptize those who are earnestly seeking in the name of Jesus. Shikara na 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 mashandara. Shibara ya shatara na 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 masindriya dai. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Shabara. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, I would be amiss to not ask if you have never been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, but you are earnestly seeking today. I want you to come and stand right in front of the pulpit here. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, then stand right in front, the first line, right across the first step. Just stand right there. And then I want the rest of the body of Christ to come and stand behind you and in front of you and lay hands upon you so that you would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Melba, if you can go to the piano or you seeking as well, we can certainly do that. And I'm going to pray that Jesus, the baptizer, now about five of you from the front there at the back, come in front of them and come and lay hands upon them. Come and stand with me here today. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, you said you are the baptizer in the Holy Ghost and fire. And Lord, we say that your name is Christ the Anointed One. Christ the Anointed One, the anointing of the Lord upon those who earnestly seek. We anoint my sister Pearl in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we say in the name of Jesus, be filled with the Spirit. Jesus, baptize Pearl in the name of Jesus. And you said, Lord, you will speak with other tongues. Now may Sister Pearl receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and with fire. I thank you for my brother, Lord, and I anoint him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we welcome you as the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. He's earnestly seeking today. He wants the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now he stretches out his heart to you, and I pray that you'd baptize him with the Holy Ghost and with fire, and that you'd fill him to overflowing, Lord, that he would speak with other tongues. I thank you for my brother, Lord, and I anoint him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I thank you that Joseph is hungry for you, Lord. He wants a fresh pouring out of the Holy Ghost upon him, and I pray that you'd fill him with the Holy Ghost, that he'd speak with other tongues, Lord, as the Spirit gives him utterance in the name of Jesus. Jesus, baptize him in the name of the Holy Spirit. We lay hands, Lord, upon Graham, and we anoint him in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. I pray that he'd be filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I pray that he'd speak with other tongues, that he would be, Lord, filled to overflowing, and that he would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I thank you that my brother stands here hungry, Lord. I anoint him with oil, and I pray that Jesus Christ the baptizer would baptize him in the Holy Ghost and fire. It may happen right now. It may happen when he's in the shower. It may happen when he's driving his car, but you fill him with the Holy Ghost. You said, seek me and you will find me. I lay my hands upon my brother, and I anoint him in the name of the Father and the Holy Ghost. I pray that you'd fill him with the Holy Ghost and fire. I pray that the fire of God would come upon him and that Jesus would baptize him with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I pray that same power that visited Lord Azusa Street, that same power that visited the disciples at Pentecost, would be the same fire that will fall upon him. Holy Ghost, fall upon him today and baptize him, Jesus, in the Holy Ghost and fire. I thank you for this young maiden, Lord. You said you will pour your spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will dream dreams, your old men will dream visions, and upon your handmaidens, the Gentiles, you will pour your spirit. This young lady, Lord, desires the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and she's hungry, Lord. She's earnestly seeking. Now fill her with the Holy Ghost and fire. And Lord, I pray that she would speak with other tongues as you would give her utterance in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for this old man. I thank you that he's a seasoned veteran of the glory of God. He knows your touch, but he's hungry for a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. I pray that you'd baptize him in the Holy Ghost and that he'd speak with other tongues in the name of Jesus. Si parababo shundo rababo shandiria boro makarama shindiria bosho parababa shindiria boroti. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, baptize him a Holy Ghost in fire. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that my brother is hungry, Lord, for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I pray that you'd fill him to overflowing, that the tongues of fire would settle upon his soul, his spirit, and his body, and that you'd fill him to overflowing, that he'd receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with power from on high and fire, Lord. Fan into flame. Fan to flame the gift that has been given through the laying on of hands. I pray that you'd fill with the Holy Ghost and power in the name of Jesus. And even, Lord, upon my brother, that there would be a fresh hunger and a thirst that is being created by the Holy Ghost right now upon him. I pray that you'd fill him with the Holy Ghost and fire. Baptize him, Lord. May his tongue begin to shudder with the power of God upon him. May Jesus fill him to overflowing. May Jesus come as the baptizer. I lay my hands upon him and I anoint him with oil. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you shall speak with tongues from on high. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for my sister who's hungry. She's come to this altar. And she's saying, Jesus, baptize me with the Holy Ghost and fire. And I pray right now in your sweet spirit, you would come upon her. And you would baptize her with the Holy Ghost and fire. It's not the oil, it's not the hands, but it's the faith that believes that Jesus can baptize her with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now fill her to overflowing. Surprise her, God. Surprise her. Surprise her with this power from on high. Surprise her, Lord, with the gift of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. With the evidence of speaking with other tongues. In the name of Jesus. Fresh fillings for Dad Mom. Fresh fillings, Lord, for your servants. They have served you well. They have served you well. They have served you in faithfulness. Fresh fillings from on high. Fresh fillings from on high. Fresh fillings from on high. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing it. The living God. Fresh. Make it your cry today. Spirit of the living God.
Spirit of the living God.
Spirit.
my father-in-law, Ken Rome, was born in Harrison, Ontario, Ruth's, my wife's father. And for 35 years, he prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Never gave up. And it was one day that the Holy Spirit spoke to him at the altar and said to him that if you trust me one more time, I will give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you will speak with other tongues. For 35 years he waited to receive the gift. And when he received the gift of the Holy Spirit, my father-in-law was given a mission by God. CN retired him at 54 years old with a golden handshake because they were getting rid of the top guys, and he was a CN railway master out of Brantford, Ontario. And from the moment that he was baptized in the Holy Spirit till the day he died, which was 2 years ago, November, I believe it was the 6th, Dad was given a divine mission to build churches in Ontario. And he built 16 churches in his retirement years. He was the project manager for those churches. All of his experience came from working on the railway. And the Holy Spirit empowered him to become a project manager that he had never done before. And he built all these churches on Indian reserves, up in the North Country. And when the Lord called him home, guess what happened? We were standing at the graveside in Brantford, Ontario, and a CN rail car comes by and hoots three times, and the Holy Spirit hits us right at the graveside when Dad was being laid in the ground. Never give up on seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When it comes, it will be like a rushing of a mighty wind. That's the promise of God. So you may be sitting on the toilet this week. You may be in the shower in your car, worshiping God, attracting the presence of God through your worship. And He will fill you with the Holy Ghost and fire. So don't ever be surprised by when God pours out His Spirit. Never give up. Never give up. So Lord, for these saints that have come seeking, they have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, but the manifestation of that gift now, by speaking with other tongues, has come for some of them, but has not yet come for some of them. They will not give up. Dad waited 35 years. And I know you can do it for your sons and your daughters. Because you love to give gifts to those who seek earnestly. They've sought earnestly. Their hearts, there's nothing wrong with them. And if they didn't receive the evidence of the baptism, may you give them that evidence in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for that. And I'll be careful to give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. And all God's people said, amen. Sing it again, Spirit of the living God. Fall afresh on me.
Sweet.